Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I draw your attention tonight to verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, in this parable, the Lord draws our attention to a merchant man. Now, the merchant man in the scripture is not a shopkeeper, but he is a traveler, probably a distant traveler, one who's often on the road, one who journeys. That's the idea of the word, the description, a journeyer for commodities, for goods, traveling far for trade. He travels about, he goes here, he goes there, he goes yonder. He's looking for something. He's traveling over sea and land to find that thing that he values. Journeying on the Silk Roads, journeying on the spice routes. In the ancient world, merchants were interested in spices, or cloth, or fine materials like silk and gemstones. But this merchant man is interested in goodly pearls. We recognize the merchant man then, as the Lord describes him, as a seeker. And he's traveling far seeking. And he's seeking these pearls. And that's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants seekers. The Lord wants people to have the attitude of the merchant man, seeking something valuable, seeking after the truth. Spiritually speaking, the Lord wants men to be seekers after pearls, to be seekers after the truth. He wants sinners to be spiritual merchants, traveling and journeying to find the truth. So goodly pearls, that makes us think of valuable things, the precious truths of life. Goodly pearls are not sins. They're not bad things in themselves. Pearls are referred to quite a lot in the New Testament. Sometimes the word is understood literally. For example, we read that the women who are to adorn themselves should do so modestly, with shamefacedness and sobriety, and not so much with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. But more often it is used metaphorically in imagery or in illustrations. Now, sometimes pearls are used to picture the glories of heaven. And you'll see that in Revelation chapter 21, the 12 gates of the heavenly city were 12 pearls. That's what the Bible says. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. Of course, that's metaphorical, that's an image, setting forth something of the glory of heaven, that the gates are made of pearl. They are used also to picture the precious and the valuable truths of the gospel. You remember how the Lord Jesus said, "Don't cast your pearls before swine. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. And don't throw your pearls down under the feet of pigs, because they'll just trample them under the feet, and they'll just turn again, and they'll rend you whenever you're evangelizing and spreading the gospel." You have to have wisdom and discernment, and not to cast your valuable pearls before swine. And that's used there, you'll understand, in a metaphorical sense then, of the truths of the gospel. And in the text, this is a parable, therefore used in a metaphorical kind of way, although the story itself could be a reality and probably was a reality. A parable is a story that could actually take place. A merchant man could seek goodly pearls and he could find a pearl that is so beyond anything that he's ever seen before that he just sells everything and gets that. It could literally happen. Maybe it literally did happen. Maybe the Lord knew such a story and he's turning it now into a parable of spiritual lessons for us, which we are considering tonight. And so, on the one hand, in this parable, there is the goodly pearls. And on the other hand, there is this pearl of great price. So great and precious, so valuable is that pearl, that all the other pearls and everything else as well that the man possesses, that all goes to obtain the pearl of great price. And so the Lord reckons this merchant man to be a wise man. He is not seeking bad things, wicked things, as I said. The goodly pearls are not sins or any of the defilements of the world. Goodly pearls are things that, humanly speaking, are worth having. They're not unlawful, they're not unclean. There are the pearls of knowledge, of wise sayings. You know, sometimes we call proverbs or a very wise maxim or a very wise saying, we say that's a pearl. And we gather those pearls up and we collect them all up. And we even sometimes call texts of scripture or sayings in the Bible. We say, that's a great pearl. So this merchant man is not a delinquent. He is a sinner, yes. But we could say that he's one on the clean side of the broad road that leads to destruction. And there are many like that. Many sincere religious people who are seeking in some way. They're like merchant men trying to find something, something valuable, something that will save their soul, something that will do them eternally good. There are people like that. I think we have to conclude that this pearl of great price pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we have to reach that conclusion. He's the only one who fits that description. We could say it's the gospel, but we really have to get down then to the heart of the gospel and what is the gospel. And the gospel is this glorious and wonderful person, Jesus Christ. And he is then ultimately the pearl of great price. If you want an illustration of the merchant man in scripture, one who maybe fulfills this parable, one who we come to think about, I don't know who you think about if you're trying to think of a man who fulfills this parable, but the one who comes to my mind is the Apostle Paul. I think Apostle Paul was the merchant man in some regards in this parable. He was a seeker. He was a religious man. He was a proud Jew. He was a dedicated Pharisee. He was a merchant man after goodly pearls. I'm speaking of what he said himself in Philippians chapter 3. He had gathered up the pearls in his life. Circumcised the eighth day. That was a pearl, a goodly pearl. He was of the tribe of the stock of Israel. That's a good pearl to have gathered up, to be an Israelite. To be of the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe that provided the first king. That was a pearl. That was something good. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was out and out for his nation and for his religion. He had the law. That's a goodly pearl. He was a seeker after the law. He was a Pharisee. That is, he wanted to be really into the law. He wanted to have all the righteousness of the law. He wanted to be characterized by zeal and righteousness concerning the law. He was gathering up these goodly pearls. He was a seeker. He wanted to know God. He was very religious. He had zeal too, and that was a pearl that he had in his life. And that zeal was manifested in persecuting the church. It was misguided. It was wrong zeal. And then the pearl of goodly nature that he really was proud of was touching the righteousness of the law. Blameless. Blameless. Well, he's a very honest man, Paul. Not every Pharisee could say that concerning the righteousness of the law, blameless, but he could. He was a merchant man. He was gathering up all these goodly pearls, the righteousness of the law, until he found Christ. The pearl of great price. And what things were gained to me, he said, those goodly pearls I counted loss for Christ. Yeah, doubtless I count all things but loss. He gathered them all up, he sold them all, he traded them all for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He gave them all up. He suffered the loss of everything, he says. He nearly seems to have this parable in mind. And even goes beyond this parable. I counted them but dung. They weren't even to me goodly pearls, they became like dung. That I might have Christ. That I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. And participate in the communion of his sufferings. And that I might be in every way made conformable unto him. Especially in his death. That's what I wanted. And I sold everything to get that. All went. And he reckoned it a great bargain too. And in this parable, this merchant man is the same. He reckoned it a great bargain. All the goodly pearls he gathered up and everything else that he had in his possession, it all went to get this pearl of great price. And it was a bargain. A bargain. He found the priceless one. And men and women, there's none like the Lord Jesus. He stands alone. He's on one side by himself. And everything else, all the goodly pearls and all the good things that you could ever think of, stand by themselves. And there's no comparison. So we're speaking about Christ tonight. The merchant man did this because he discovered the value of Jesus. The preciousness of the Lord. If you're a Christian tonight, you're in the story. You're this merchant man. You couldn't possibly be a Christian if you're not this merchant man. This is every Christian. Every Christian has done this. Every Christian has been made to do this who has discovered and realized the value of Jesus Christ. Are you a merchant man of the kingdom tonight? Are you in the story? In what ways then can Jesus Christ, our Lord, be said to be the pearl of great price? One pearl of great price. There's not two. There's none others. Just one pearl of great price. The only one. In what way then does Jesus Christ fulfill this? In several ways, I think. The first that I would draw your attention to in your thoughts is that he is the one pearl in the mystery of his person. He is special. He is unique. Of course, we know that Christ is God. He's the mighty God. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. That's a word concerning Christ, the apostle to the Hebrews tells us. In the beginning he made all things. The heavens will wax old. They'll perish. As a vesture, you'll fold them up. You'll put them away, they'll be changed. But thou remainest and art the same. The apostle to the Hebrews is applying that text to Jesus Christ, that psalm. He is God. He's true God. He's God of gods. And as God, of course, he is an invaluable pearl. But as God, he is not visible. He's not a pearl that you can handle and see. He's not a pearl the luster of which you can appreciate by a visible glance. He cannot be seen and handled like a pearl can be. In that sense, if refers to his divine nature merely, then the same can be said of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. They would be pearls also. But this is spoken concerning the Son of God, because he became visible. He became incarnate. He was made flesh. He was manifested. His humanity had an origin, a mysterious origin. And it is because of that that he is a pearl unique. And so it is a reference to him in the mystery of his person as the God-man, as the one who was made flesh, as the one who came amongst us and dwelt among us. Now, of course, you know that pearls have an earthly origin. And Jesus Christ is the Lord from heaven. But he is the Lord from heaven who came into the world. And in the world, his humanity had an earthly origin. That is mysterious. Just like the forming of a pearl is mysterious. And so this is true of him that is not true of all the other pearls. This is why this man is special. He is the pearl who is the God-man. Whereas all the other pearls, if we refer them to men, just things. Christ is the incarnate one. He was made flesh like no one else. Christ's divine nature is eternal. He was pre-existent, but the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Word. He took a visible appearance. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. He was seen. He was found in every way in the fashion of a man. And as a man, he humbled himself. And so this being made manifest in flesh makes him to be the pearl of great price. And his being manifested in flesh is a great mystery. Didn't Paul call it that? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It's a wonder to angels. It's something that they look into to study. What I'm saying is there's something about the origin of his humanity and taking it into union with his divine person that is mysterious. The origin of a pearl is mysterious. It is unique in biology and science. The shell from which the pearl is formed, fish shell, at a certain time of the year, it opens itself and the little microscopic intruder enters in and it settles inside the shell. And then the creature, being irritated by that intruder, secretes around it and forms around it. And it keeps doing this over a period of time until a beautiful and a glorious pearl is formed. And men dive down into the sea or go along the water edge or whatever, and they find these shells and they open them and they hope to find a pearl. And sometimes they get a really unusual pearl, a valuable one. All this is hidden. This is concealed. This is being done in the deep. And I want you to think about the origin of the humanity of our Lord in the womb of the Virgin, mysteriously forming over the 9 months from a cell. In the power and majesty of the Holy Spirit, from the substance of Mary's womb. You remember how Gabriel appeared to Mary and he said to her, "Thou art favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God is going to give unto him the throne. He's going to reign forever and ever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary says, how shall this be? I don't know a man. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come on thee. The majesty of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing formed in thee shall be born. And he'll be called the Son of God. He's the pearl of great price. No one like that. No one born of a virgin. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? There never was a sinless one came out of a womb until that day. Until the majesty of the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and of her substance out of an unclean thing came the sinless Christ. In the mystery of the Incarnation, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word was made flesh. He's the pearl of great price in the mystery of his person. This is what the Lord is meaning. And you know, the world is so blessed that the Father hath bestowed upon it this pearl and sent this wonder of wonders into the world. This one pearl, Jesus Christ our Lord. So in the mystery of his person, he is seen to be the one pearl. Also in the value of his person. All pearls are valuable. But some are very valuable. They're all in this group of the goodly pearls. They're valuable for different reasons. More valuable. The valuation varies for different reasons. Sometimes it may be their size. Sometimes their color, their luster, their shape. These things give them added rarity. There are some very, very valuable pearls in the world. One unusual rarity is found in China. It is called the Beauty of Ocean Pearl. It took 3 years to make. It's very large. It weighs 6 tons and is 5 feet high. It's a giant pearl. And it's worth £100 million and more. That's a lot of money. A famous pearl owned by Philip II of Spain and stolen by the brother of Napoleon whenever the French had to flee Spain in Napoleon's defeat. And it is today still existent and it's valued at £9 million. It actually was owned at one time by the actress Elizabeth Taylor. And there are several other pearls that are nearly as valuable. But they all go to this side. Christ exceeds them all. Every one of them. Far exceeds them all. He's in another league altogether. The worth of him who came out of the virgin cannot be measured. His value cannot be estimated. It cannot be put into figures. In fact, it would be blasphemy to say so, to put it into figures. All that can be said is what Jesus Christ said. One pearl of great price. It can't be estimated. It can't be counted. It can't be valued. It can't be measured. He is the altogether glorious one. The Rose of Sharon, heaven's gem. The Father's jewel. This is my beloved Son. Invaluable. The only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. So, he is priceless. Job has an interesting description of the priceless value of wisdom. And it is a very interesting paragraph. And ultimately, of course, the description is applicable to Christ because he is the wisdom of God. And concerning this wisdom, Job says, man doesn't know the price of it. We don't know the price of Christ. He's priceless. It cannot be gotten for gold. All the gold in the world cannot obtain it, cannot buy it, won't meet the cost of it. Neither can silver be weighed for it. The gold and the crystal and all the gems cannot equal it. And it cannot be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. The price of this wisdom, Job adds, is far above rubies. Even the topaz of Ethiopia can't equal it. And not even pure gold can value it. It's priceless. One pearl of great price. If you have Christ, you are rich indeed. You have treasures, the treasure of heaven. You are rich beyond measure to possess such a Redeemer. Therefore, never trade him. Never be so like Judas Iscariot, who made that foolish bargain and swapped him for 30 pieces of silver. What a foolish man. He had the pearl of great price, the one pearl in his hand. And he swapped him for 30 pieces of silver. What a blasphemy. What a wickedness. He's all you need for life and for death, for time and for eternity. His value is seen in what he is for sinners. That can be illustrated in many ways. One way to do it is to just go through John's Gospel and look at all them I ams. What is there special about this one pearl that is so unique? How does he make me rich to possess him? What do I have when I have him? Well, what does he tell us he is? In John's Gospel he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. He is nourishment for your soul forever and ever. He is the one who gives you life. The bread of life. I am the light of the world. That's his value. Not to have him is to be in darkness, to be in night. But to possess him, everything is illuminated. Everything is bright and clear. Everything is like day. Everything is seen in its true likeness, in his radiance. The pearl of great price. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the true vine from whence comes your fruitfulness. All of this and more besides, he is to his people. No wonder they have traded everything to get this pearl of great price. So his value is immeasurable. Pearls also, we could say, are beautiful and glorious in appearance. Everyone is different. You have to look at them and study them and see beyond the surface. There's a splendor about them. The feel of them, the shape of them, the turning of them. Looking at them in the different lights. You see within the surface of pearls, they're glorious within as well. They have a luster, a glory, a hypnotizing effect, almost. And you can see why women love them and are drawn to them. They have a drawing and attractive glory. And all of that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He's all of that. A beauty. A luster that draws. What did the bride say? He's altogether lovely. Stands apart from everybody else. This is my beloved. This is my friend. This is the only one I want in my life. This is him. The one pearl, the altogether lovely one. More to be desired than gold. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. His fruit was sweet to my taste. You can see how she values him. Thou art fairer than the children of men, the psalmist says. Grace is poured into thy lips. Who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who can be likened unto this pearl of great price on in heaven as well as in earth? He is glorious. For he is the mighty God and the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the glorious one. Far above all principality and power and might, and everything that is named in heaven and on earth, he is the one in the midst of the throne. He is the throne's radiance. He is the throne's brightness. He is the glory of heaven and the glory of earth. What a pearl. There's no one else like that. Search the whole scriptures. Go through all the glories of heaven. Start at Gabriel and Michael and work your way through it all. There's no one like the Lamb. One pearl. Only one. He's the brightness of the Father's glory. The elect one, the precious one. This may also be said of Christ's duration. You see, the thing about pearls is that they are not guaranteed duration. They can be spoiled. They can be dissolved, actually. They can be ruined. They can be stolen. Spoiling can take place so easily and they will quickly devalue. And there are elements and things in the world that can do that, can dissolve them and mark them so as to ruin them. We can say that of all these goodly pearls. But the one pearl of great price endures. Eternally endures. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Never spoiled. Never ruined. Never destroyed. The unchangeable one. The eternal I am. The immutable Christ. His glory will never fade, but eternally the same unchanging brightness throughout all of eternity. His value is never in danger, and he who possesses him has treasure laid up in heaven that can never be lost or stolen. He that has Christ has something that will never, ever devalue. Now, you'll learn more about the value of it as time goes on and throughout all eternity. You'll discover more of its value. But that value is always the same. It never deteriorates. And you'll never, ever discover the depths of his value. Even throughout all of eternity. He's the one pearl of great price. He's a sure foundation. No atheist. No ungodly rascals. No infidels. No unbelievers with their satanic philosophies can tarnish him. No satanic doctrine from hell itself can ruin him. The gates of hell do not prevail against this pearl of great price. He's indestructible. The indestructible, the unchangeable glory of the Lamb. The thing about pearls also is that they are not easily found. And as well as that, in fact, they are easily despised and trodden underfoot and not seen and not regarded and not recognized. So there's kind of two thoughts there. He is to be found only by seekers. To find this pearl of great price, you have to be a merchantman, a seeker. You have to be sincere and earnest seeker to find a pearl. You need to know where to go and where to look to find pearls. You need to be prepared to travel and to make the journey. The merchantman knows this. He has to travel. He has to make the journey. He has to inquire and ask. He has to seek. He has to keep on the business until he finds that one pearl that he knows satisfies. Pearls are generally found underwater. Of course, the merchantman isn't going to go underwater. The others go underwater to find them, and he goes to the centers to try to discover them and to obtain them. They are first found by seeking for them under the water, near rocks. The sinner has to seek for Christ. Ye shall find me when you seek for me with all your heart. You have to search to find him. He that seeketh, findeth. To find Christ, you have to be a diver. You have to dive into two places to find Christ. You have to dive, first of all, into your heart. To first find your need of him. To discover your emptiness without him. To discover the darkness and the uncleanness and the wretchedness of the man within, that only the Christ of God can rectify and remedy. And so you have to dive into your heart to discover your sinfulness and to begin to feel your need of this pearl of great price. And having dived into your heart to discover your sinfulness and to know yourself and your need, then you have to dive into Scripture to find him. For he is in the rock of the solid word of God. He is contained in the ocean of Scripture. He is in the depths of the holy text, in every part of the word of God. But you have to dive in to find him. And so you have to dive into Scripture with earnest desire, going down deep into the text to obtain him who meets your need and satisfies your longing. He's in the Scripture. He's in the ocean of God's holy word, deep in the word. And you have to travel like the merchantman to hear the word and to find the word and to search the word, traveling into the fields of Holy Scripture, traveling into the text until you find Christ. If you're going to find Christ, you're only going to find him in his word. He that seeketh, findeth, and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Sometimes he's not easy to find. Men have such pride, and they hold so tightly to their self-righteousness, and to their thoughts, and to their sins. You have to be stripped of your self-righteousness. You have to cast aside all false religion, and the world, and friends even, and all that hinders. And like this merchant man, when he found the one pearl of great price, he went, he was determined, he sold all that he had, he bought it. He found it and he knew what it was. He knew its value. He knew he could have it. But he had to go and sell all that he had to to obtain it. And so in a sense, he's not easily found. In another sense, he is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and he's not far from any of us if we believe and are earnest seekers in our heart. But he can also easily be despised and trodden underfoot. You remember the Lord talked about the swine? They don't seem to appreciate pearls, do they? You could just throw a handful under the pigs, and they wouldn't even try to eat them. They would just walk over them. They're just little pebbles and bits of grit. Unusual looking grit. You know, they're shiny a wee bit, but they're just pebbles and grit, and the pigs just walk all over them, despise them. You know, men are like that. They don't recognize pearls. It's even humanly conceivable, possible that, you know, you could be out walking and by the river's edge and all the pebbles and all the little smooth stones, and there could be a pearl or two there amongst the grit and all the mud and all the dampness, and you're just walking over it and you don't even know it. You couldn't recognize a pearl. You wouldn't even know what it looked like. And so it is easy to despise goodly pearls and to not see them. It wouldn't be recognized except by the merchant man who has an eye, who's a seeker, who's a true seeker, who wants this special thing in his life. And so men can swim and fish and walk by the rivers and paddle in the waters and be near to pearls and not even know it. Men are darkened. Men are blind to Christ. Men despise the riches of his grace and they trample underfoot his glory. He who's adored by angels, exalted by the Father, praised and loved by saints, is despised and rejected of men. Because they're blind. They see no beauty in him to desire him. They see no value concerning him. And I have to say, if you're such a person tonight, and you don't see the glories of the Lord Jesus, and you don't consider that he is something that you need in your life, then may the Lord open your eyes, that you may see the true value of Jesus Christ, and want him in your life. You who have the world's vanities, and are holding them dear, who idolize the world and its men, who set on a pedestal man, and man's ideas, who worship science and technology and all the glories of this world. May the Lord open your eyes to see the one pearl of great price. And so may the Lord open the eyes of all that are blind and who do not yet desire Jesus Christ and who do not yet value him and who do not want him. May the Lord open their eyes and may their darkened understanding be enlightened to see the glories of the Lamb. And may all in this house, through God's grace, be true merchantmen who have obtained the one pearl of great price. And so it's time for you all, men and women, to find Christ. And having found him, if you have to sell everything to take him, do it. Take him and keep him.